Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So in about 5 minutes or so, we hope to hook up with Brian Haney, as we will on every Wednesday, as the Jayhawks and Indiana State get set to do battle here in a couple of weeks, and the Les Miles era will begin. The Eric Wedge era for Wichita State baseball will technically begin September 21st. They're going to host Nebraska in a fall exhibition game.
That's cool.
Very cool. That'll be at 2 o'clock Saturday the 21st at X Stadium. They will also play an exhibition game at Missouri State October the 5th at Hammond
Field. That's cool, too. Yeah. That's great.
So, there's your opportunity to see Wichita State, kind of. It's an exhibition game in the fall, so it'll be certainly an unfinished product, you would think, especially 1 month from today, considering I don't even think they've started practice yet. They're getting close to it, if they're not, but there you go. So there's some little bit of baseball news. Yeah, that's just released by the Shocker Sports Information Department. And first 2,000 fans through the gates will get a commemorative Eric Wedge trading card.
Well, that's cool.
You think 2,000 will show up? I bet they
probably will.
Yeah,
I think they will. No question.
All right, before we get to Brian Haney, 869-1240 is Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline. Willie is with us. Hey, Willie.
Hey, how you guys here doing?
Pretty good. What do you got on Phillip Rivers?
So here's my thing. See if you go with me on this. I think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. I got family that moved out there to San Diego a couple of years back, and before they moved the team to L.A., and I got to see him play live. And I got to tell you, it bothers me that when I talk to my buddies about this, they all say, no, he's not. Well, how is he not? Is Brad Johnson a great quarterback? I get so sick of, like, because they always bring up rings. Well, what does that matter all the time in a player's career? That means they're not great because they ain't got a ring?
I'm with you. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Dan Marino never got a ring.
I agree. Right.
Well,
he's got isotoner gloves.
Right. Yeah, come on now. And my thing is, since LaDainian Tomlinson, who they have, they finally get Melvin Gordon. And now we don't know what's going to happen with him, whether or not he's going to play. Antonio Gates is injured year in and year out, and half the time, Phillip Rivers is throwing the third string guys. I take him on my team. I'm a Jacksonville Jaguars fan since I saw Mark Brunell play. It's another story. But I'm telling you, man, I feel like he could be on any team that, you know, Antonio Brown, imagine if he was throwing to him.
Right.
How good he would actually be. Anyways, that's my two cents. Thanks for the call, guys.
Thanks, Willie. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, you got it. Absolutely.
I agree. He does prop up his wide receivers year in and year out, besides Keenan Allen. It's kind of a, Dontrell Inman just caught that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
Mike Williams just caught that? I mean, Antonio Gates is ageless. But he's gone, I think. And now Hunter Henry is back from knee injury.
Yeah, I love Hunter Henry, by the way.
Yeah, he's good. Athletic,
he's something.
Tight end. Yeah.
He's good.
So that's
he's had guys.
That's a decent argument for Phillip Rivers right there. I like that.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I just think that in the trio of guys that we were talking about, Roethlisberger, Rivers, Manning, Roethlisberger, to me, would be the safest bet to get to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that more of them wouldn't, but I don't know. I don't know how much does overloading the quarterback boat from this era play into it? Because if you believe that Brady, Breeze, Rodgers are all going into the Hall of Fame, And this generation is represented. I mean, how many more do you go? I mean, do you put 6, 7, 8 of them in from this generation of quarterback? I don't know if you do or not.
Well, I mean, there's nothing.
That's not typically what they've done, but right. It's not to say that they couldn't do it now.
Nothing they should apologize for, though. I mean, just coincidence that five guys that are 37 or older all playing at the same time and all at least knocking on the door of the Hall of Fame. I totally am with Willie in that, and I just bring up Eli Manning winning 2 Super Bowls because I know that's what people will point to, but I don't think that's necessarily fair. Quarterbacks certainly get more credit than they deserve for winning, you know, for winning games.
Right.
But, you know, Elway played forever before he got to, you know, before he won a Super Bowl. Marino never did. He got there real early and never even got back there. And then you got and Willie brought up Brad Johnson, who won a Super Bowl. Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know? And Bradshaw.
And those are all guys we would not have a conversation. Look, Manning would have won less Super Bowl if David Tyree hadn't made that one catch.
Right. And Brady would have one more.
Yeah, he'd and have Brady 7. Would have one more. Exactly. Look, I hear you. But I'm a Phillip Rivers fan. Phillip Rivers, to me, would be a guy that I'd love quarterbacking my team.
Mm-hmm.
Just would love it. And I've said that for as long as anyone cared to listen. So, I mean, I've always been a big David Rivers fan, Phillip Rivers fan. And from the Tangerine Bowl, which is the first time I saw him, against Kansas.
When he cut up Kansas. Yeah.
My God.
He had a million yards that day.
Eviscerated them. Yeah. Eviscerated them. So, anyway.
Wasn't he thrown to Jericho Cotchery?
Yes.
Were they on the same team at NC State? I want to say they were. Did.
That I'm not totally positive of.
Me either, but.
But I like the connection.
Thank you.
Did you see that Austin Kendall won the starting job at West Virginia for Neil Brown?
Yeah, supposedly beat out 3 other guys for that. The OU transfer or OU graduate?
Yeah, the OU transfer spent the last 2 years behind Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. Now is the starting quarterback and has 2 years of eligibility remaining.
Hmm.
At West Virginia. I have no idea what to expect from West Virginia. Don't know a lot about Neil Brown. Don't know a lot about what they're trying to do. To me, they're kind of in that kind of jumbled mess of midsection of the Big 12.
Down there with TCU.
Which just about includes everybody except for Oklahoma, Texas, Iowa State, and then KU on the other end.
TCU, Texas Tech, 16. Kind of in that jumbled mess, too.
Oklahoma State.
You forget about Iowa State, though. They're ranked,
no, Iowa State, they're though. Preseason I count ranked Iowa 21. State as a have.
Oh, okay. All right.
Iowa State's a have. I've got Iowa, Oklahoma, Texas, and Iowa State are all ticks better than just about anyone else. Then you get that mass in the middle. And TCU, Oklahoma State are probably the two best of the rest. But Texas Tech, K-State, et cetera, are kind of in that midsection. And then Kansas bringing up the rear until further notice. And maybe Kansas will be a big surprise for us.
Speaking of, Brian Haney, play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks as the Les Miles era is getting set to be unfurled as Indiana State comes to Lawrence on the 31st. Brian, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, doing great, fellas. Thanks a lot for having me on. How are you?
No problem. We're doing good. Looking forward to the Les Miles era getting going. Indiana State first, then Coastal Carolina before you guys hit the road. What are you hearing out of camp as far as the players responding to Les Miles in the first year that he's been in Lawrence?
Well, I think it's obviously been a productive preseason, and going back to the spring, a lot of guys were fully bought in. If you came out to the spring game with the Rick Ross concert and what we saw on display there, but they've obviously ramped up and intensified those practices throughout August. had their final full contact practice yesterday, and now you're talking about zeroing in on Indiana State. So it's been a good preseason. I think some of the areas of great concern depth-wise in terms of replacing, you know, key positional losses from a year ago on the D-line and linebacking core. I think some of those fears or concerns have been alleviated with guys emerging like Kyron Johnson moving to the inside linebacker position, like guys like Azur Kamara as an edge rusher that I think will help put more pressure on opposing quarterbacks. Some of the freshmen that have come in that will be plug-and-play guys immediately, like Gavin Potter, a linebacker from Oklahoma, and Stephen Parker, a linebacker from Texas, who this kid's got the body of a Greek god. I don't know how he's 18 years old. I mean, he looks like he's built 27 and just absolutely chiseled already as a true freshman. Just imagine when Zach Woodfin, our strength coach, has had a full year to work with him, what he's going to look like and what our defensive coaches will have him playing like. So I think what were areas of concern, particularly defensively, you feel a lot better about as they get set to break camp and head into game week, week one. But we're still waiting to see what the quarterback position is going to look like and what the receiving targets, you know, will be like in terms of the most targeted guys, the most consistent guys, because you lose your top three most targeted receivers from a year ago. So I think offensively, those are two areas that remain question marks heading into week one. Because you feel great about the O-line. The running back group is probably the deepest in the conference when you talk about Puka Williams, Dom Williams, and Khalil Herbert. So a lot to like, you know, in terms of those position groups. And I think that some of those questions that still don't have answers will come into clear focus here in about 10 more days.
Brian, culture is such a catchphrase anymore as it relates to professional sports, college sports, regardless. We love to talk about culture. I don't have an issue with the changeover from David Beatty to Les Miles. I don't think it's much as much of a cultural thing as it is just identifying talent, accumulating talent, putting in a scheme and a plan to give them a better chance to win with the people that they have. That's kind of the challenge for Les Miles. It's not as much cultural as it is just figuring out who can do it. From that standpoint, it's not as much of an overwhelming job as it might be if it were truly cultural. Is that right?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that was already in place to where it wasn't just a complete upheaval. I think if anything, where you've got the biggest culture change is just bringing the fans back and creating belief. Sure. that shows up in the stands and in ticket sales and all that. Because you look at it from a facility standpoint, previous regime, and I'm talking about the previous athletic department administration, you know, was working on the finishing of an indoor football facility. We just had the locker room updates 3 years earlier that David Beatty at the time said made Kansas one of the top five players' locker room facilities in the country. You look at some of the players, personnel-wise, that were on campus, and Les Miles said it when we were in Dallas a month ago, he inherited more talent at Kansas than he did when he took the Oklahoma State job, and that turned a lot of heads and raised a lot of eyebrows down at Stillwater, but that tells you that things weren't necessarily broken on the player pipeline either. Now, they're still getting scholarship numbers up, and that's obviously been something that's been discussed and cussed for quite a while, but you know, that they're tracking in the right direction there. So I don't think culture, as it pertains to can you step in and win, you know, needed to have a huge overhaul. There's just a lot that could be added and done better with the all-star staff that Les Miles has brought in, some of the key guys he was able to retain and keep in place, and then the way that they'll continue to grow and develop what they already had to work with. Obviously, you want a coaching staff that is great in player development for the guys that are already here, but also one that's going to knock it out of the park recruiting-wise and get you a higher caliber student-athlete coming through these doors. And that's what I think we're seeing right now. And, you know, I can't talk recruiting specifics since I work internally at KU, and we obviously don't talk football recruiting until signing day because I always liken football recruiting to junior high dating. You may have a girlfriend one day, but that's only a verbal commitment. It could change by the next, right? It's not real serious until they sign. But, you know, without talking specifics, there's a good buzz around KU football, clearly, as we trend toward the next crop of recruits. And so that's a big step in the right direction, too. So I think clearly there were fundamental things that you liked, that you didn't have to change culturally, but there was a lot that could be enhanced and added to that, that bringing in a future Hall of Fame head coach that has 142 wins on his resume and instant credibility with the staff he surrounded himself with, stuff that will be enhanced just naturally by having that type of coaching staff on campus. So we're excited. I think sleeping giant's probably too strong of a term to call this program, but there clearly is a passion amongst the fan base that can be reawoken. There's clearly the capability of winning. As we saw just 10 or 11 years ago when Kansas won 20 games in back-to-back seasons, to where with the right people in the right chairs, you can win at Kansas. It's been proven. Mark Mangino did it here. And it's tougher, yes, in 2019 with 9 league games in a conference where 66%, if not more so, go to bowl games every year, and you got to play everybody. It is tougher. I get it. But we also feel like there's certain things that have been done in recent years to make Kansas more competitive. And right now, the money is being invested at an all-time high. Kansas is spending the third most in the conference to make sure that they've got enough coaches, not just the quality that we spoke to, but the quantity of man and woman power as well, in those coaches' offices. And that's really exciting because they're putting all their chips to the center of the table, led by our athletic director, Jeff Long, realizing what it takes to compete with the Joneses of the Big 12 Conference. And I think we're seeing Kansas do that more so than they ever have before. Now, hopefully the dividends will start to be paid on Saturday.
We'll talk more about Indiana State coming up next week as we get closer to game day. But a final question before we let you go, Brian, the quarterback battle, is it that tight that we can't name a starter yet, or is Les Miles kind of I'm going to play it close to the vest and not necessarily announce anything before I have to?
That's a great question, Shane, and honestly, I don't know the answer. In the media, we only get brief glimpses every couple of sessions, and it's not anything that would tip a hand one way or the other. I know Coach had said at the start of fall camp, composure would be what separated the quarterbacks in the end. And that's similar to what you've heard Coach Beatty or Coach Weiss say in previous years. The quarterback that makes the fewest mistakes is going to be the one that wins the job. But it's also a similar narrative to what we told you last year when you asked that question this time of year. Not much has changed. Carter Stanley still has all the intangibles, the moxie, the leadership, the savvy you'd want inside that huddle, leading the guys in that locker room. You wish you could put his leadership and moxie between the ears of every player on the roster. And yet, from an arm talent standpoint, like last year when it was Peyton Bender, this year Thomas McVitie, he's up against a guy that's got a little bit more of a cannon when it comes to the firepower on hanging from his right shoulder. And that's a guy that Les Miles recruited when he was at LSU. Ultimately, he signed with Pitt. He then dropped out of the JC ranks, and now here he is once again reunited with Coach Miles and Lawrence. But I think the upside athletically is higher with McVitie. But there's some intangibles that you can't overlook with Stanley. Yeah. How close is the battle as we sit 10 days out? Honestly, don't know. Coach could be just keeping it close to his vest because of the element of surprise for Indiana State. But I do think heading into game week, those players will know who their guy is.
Yeah.
And he may not announce it until they run out there and break huddle at the stadium on Saturday the 31st, but they're going to know. And I have a good feeling Coach Miles knows who he thinks is going to be the guy right now. But I will say this. I think there's belief and hope that maybe the next great Kansas quarterback is not yet on campus just yet. And that's nothing against Carter or Thomas. I think that speaks to what I hinted at earlier, the prowess and capability of this staff to recruit. And so that's exciting on what it could look like as 11 years later, we're still trying to replace Todd Reesing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So hopefully, we're going to see those shoes fill real soon.
All right, we'll bear down on Indiana State this time next week, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of it a little bit more next week as it's game week. Appreciate you, Brian. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Brian.
Hey, thanks, guys, and thanks to the Mattress back for another season of sponsorship. Can't thank my main man, Ryan Beatty, and everybody over there at the Mattress Hub enough. The best night's sleep you'll ever have on a mattress from the Mattress Hub. Check them out today. Wichita owned and operated right there in Wichita. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brian. All right.
Thanks, buddy.
We will catch up with him again next week, talk KU and Indiana State. Week one commences. Week zero is this weekend, 2 games on Saturday. And then everybody will get cranked up next week. On This Day in Sports History, brought to you by Superior Rents, 21st and Ridge, straight ahead.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.